Hello and welcome to the Aquila podcast. This is a weekly, fortnightly or monthly podcast featuring good music, topical discussion, rambling ad lib and random tomfoolery. I am your host, Danny Duckers, and with me as usual is Fucknuts McGee, joining us remotely from our live access, live studio stream feed thing through the magic of the internet, Richard Aquila Stokes. Hello, Rich.
Yeah. I'm afraid, yeah, Fucknuts McGee couldn't make it today, so it's just Rich Aquila today, I'm afraid.
Ever never mind.
He sent through a letter.
Yeah, we'll get him on next time, don't worry.
Absolutely.
But yeah, thank you, audience members, for joining us as we plough the depths of Richard's psyche, wander down endless asides, and struggle to keep to the topic in hand. Now, that is the standard written introduction that I've made. I'm thinking we need to either jazz it up or perhaps, I don't know, try and do it in a different accent each week.
That's a great idea. If you could pick a different celebrity to be, that would be fantastic.
Bearing in mind, I can do a passable Irish and that's about it. I once had to do to be a South African character for a murder mystery at one point. And
brilliant.
Pretty sure it came across as sort of Irish Punjabi sort of mix, which didn't really work at all. Speaking of which, yeah, hey, South, look, right, hang on. We barely finished the introduction and I'm already on to the first aside. I finally got round to watching Elysium the other day.
Right, is that a film?
Yeah, right now this has scuppered the first aside. I take it, it's a Matt Damon film. Have you not seen it?
No, I haven't seen it at all. Is it? If it's out at the cinema now, basically the last thing I saw at the cinema was about a million years ago. When you know, having kids and everything, my view of the cinema is I'm not going to go and pay to sit in the dark and pay someone else to sit in my house.
Interesting point. Yeah, okay, so that's killed my whole thing, really, because essentially there's a character in it who's a bit of a baddie.
Right.
Or I say he's a bit of a baddie, he's a lot of a baddie. And is, well, he's supposed to be South African. Now, I have worked quite closely with a person who was actually from South Africa.
Yes.
And either this person is not South African or they're doing something weird with the accent. I know it's not the easiest of accidents.
Well, I think I find accents in films problematic anyway, because often there's no consensus in the actual movie, is there? If you think, like, have you seen Enemy at the Gates?
Yes. Ah, Rachel Weisz's bottom.
Rachel Weisz's bottom. Or a stunt bottom, we don't know.
Is it a stunt bottom?
It could be a stunt bottom.
I'd be equally interested in spending the night with a stunt bottom, to be honest.
Yeah, just a disembodied bottom that just had a very, very lucrative film career.
Yeah. I'd be most upset if it's not actually her bottom.
Right, we'll research that. We'll get back. Well, in fact, if anyone can find that out and actually write to us at info@AquilaLovesYou and find out, is that actually Rachel Weisz's bottom?
Tweet us at AquilaLovesYou, # Rachel Weisz's bottom.
Yep,
actually, no, new # stunt bottom.
Stunt bottom. But anyway, getting back to the tricky subject of accents.
Yes.
I was going to say, what happens in Enemy at the Gates and in quite a lot of films is there's no consensus in what everyone's going to be. So you've got Jude Law is Cockney to show that he's a working class Russian.
Indeed. Hang on. How does that work?
Well, because obviously they're going to talk English. They're not actually all going to be talking in fluent Russian because none of them are.
Good point.
But then Bob Hoskins just does a Russian accent and says, I am Russian all the way through. Right. And then Joseph Fiennes is Mr. RSC, Shakespeare received pronunciation. And then then the Germans are American. As I recall, that they're the baddies and significantly different.
It's just confusing from start to finish.
Yeah, so there were no rules. I mean, if you got like Gladiator, it kind of works, doesn't it? Because everyone just talks with an English accent.
Yes.
And they've obviously agreed at the beginning. Or in Alexander, I don't know if you've seen that, with Colin Farrell, everyone's inexplicably Irish, but because they all are Irish and go, Alexander, I'm going to take over the world now. Okay, let's go and do that. Let's go and invade this country. It's amazing. Then it sort of works in an odd way.
Weird. Don't understand. It's just, it's been something I've never been good at. So like maybe a sort of southern drawl. I'm not even going to do it just to prove the point, but like southern drawl American, I could probably get away with that with a bit of practice. But it's just something that I've never really been called on to do, because we were in a play, weren't we, back in the day?
Yeah.
That was full on Scouse accents.
Yeah, a Willie Russell play.
What was it?
Called Our Day Out, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. Willie, you know, he's the Blood Brothers guy.
Ah, right, okay.
I knew his daughter for a bit.
Oh, yeah. I see. This is how the memory fades. Can't even remember. I seem to remember we didn't really have that pick apart in that particular production anyway.
No, we were just doing the music, weren't we?
Was that the garden scene thing?
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's completely... I think you can sort of fool yourself with accents, but if someone's actually from that country, like there's this, or that area even, because I watched a bit of that, tried to watch this Peaky Blinders series that's set in Birmingham. And I watched about, you know, not long, but Cillian Murphy, who's a brilliant, brilliant actor, and his accent was all over the place. I was like, you're not from Birmingham. What are you doing? And it's the kind of thing that it just takes me out of, I can't get into it.
No, it's too distracting, isn't it?
If it's all over the place, then I really can't do it. I tried to watch that Russell Crowe Robin Hood, because a friend of mine is an extra in it, or a friend of a friend is an extra in it, and I was like, I'll see if I can spot him. I couldn't even get 10 minutes into it, because Russell Crowe's even worse than Michael Gambon doing Dumbledore. He's like, I am Robin Hood, and I just like to tell you exactly what's going on. It's like he's a detuned radio, just picking up different accents from the ether.
Weird. I mean, you must have to audition for these parts. And you must say sort of like needed English accent. And yes, he's a big name and a draw on the box office or whatever, but you've still got to be able to do the part.
Well, the thing that I found, though, is it's like, I mean, I guess I say that I found, the thing that I was wondering was, you know, perhaps it takes 18 months to film something like that. And maybe each scene that we watch consecutively as a movie-going punter has a massive 6-month gap. I mean, have you seen both of the Sherlock Holmes films with Robert Downey Jr.?
I have seen both of them, yeah.
Like the second one, he plays a completely different character. In the first one, he talks sort of like that, doesn't he? And that's how you'd expect him. His mind moves very fast and he talks very fast and he talks very low. And that's his version of doing Sherlock Holmes. And in the second film, he's this kind of slightly camp, posh guy. And he doesn't sound anything like how he does in the first film.
It's been so long since I saw the first one, I can't recall. But yeah. I mean, you've actually hit the nail on the head there, and you forget that these things aren't all filmed within the context of the actual story, are they?
No, so maybe they just forget. Maybe there's, you have like continuity for lighting and things like that. I was in a film once and they did all the response shots with a different lighting, which kind of scuppered about 2/3 of the film, because no one was keeping an eye on what was going on.
I'm a bit of a stickler for that. I hate when the continuity people don't do it. Do you know the worst example I saw recently?
Go on then.
Raster Mouse.
I've never seen Raster Mouse.
Oh, Raster Mouse is cool.
About it.
Yeah, Raster Mouse is cool. So for the uninitiated, this is a CBeebies show with a trio of Jamaican crime-fighting mice. Which already sounds pretty cool, but yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It is pretty good. They make bad things good. I didn't bother with the accent. But yeah, it was absolutely essential to the plot, right? One of the sporty mice was cheating with his twin, whereby they sort of switched halfway through a race so that there were, you know, one was fresh, you know, it's a marathon or whatever, you can do half at a higher pace. And so they switch because they're twins. And the way Raster Mouse catches them is because their trainers are exactly the same and their footprints everywhere. And then in one of the scenes, they're not wearing the trainers.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm a license fee payer. I demand continuity, especially when crime and evidence structures are involved. It's just not acceptable.
Totally. And especially, you know, in that particular job and area where there's so many people trying to break into show business and in this difficult economic climate, I think everyone involved should kill themselves, and they should consider themselves a disgrace, and their families should say that's good.
Are we talking public hangings?
Yeah. Well, like I was thinking like sort of ritual self-slaughter that some sort of samurai warrior from medieval times might do.
Full-on seppuku sort of slash your abdomen and spill your guts everywhere. Yeah.
Definite. So is Rasta Mouse anything to do with, like, Danger Mouse or something that I might...
No. Danger Mouse.
My own childhood.
Yeah, good cartoon that was.
Danger Mouse and Duck Killer, they were good.
Count Duck Killer.
Yes.
You realise we're showing our age at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. He was Duck Killer, evil in Danger Mouse, but nice once he got his own show. It obviously cheered him up.
Yeah,
to be, it's like, I've got my own show now, I don't have to try and kill anyone, and now I'm a vegetarian. That's quite good.
Yeah, vegetarian Dracula, like it.
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Oh, but talking of children's TV shows from now.
Yes.
I guess, so have you watched Charlie and Lola?
That's all right. Don't mind that one.
But, right, because obviously I'm watching it along with a three-year-old.
Yeah.
So your mind tends to wander. The actual plot lines don't grip me as much as they might if I was like 32 years younger or something. So I'm watching it, and is not the theme song possibly the saddest piece of music you've ever heard?
I'm trying to remember.
You see these two children sort of running through the snow, and it's like...
Yes, I know it.
And it's like... this sort of gentle fluting minor key thing, as though emphasizing the futility and how quickly your youth passes and how pointless everything you think is. And then it sort of cuts to this charmingly put together, charmingly scripted little thing about an older brother whose little sister is sort of getting to grips with life.
So is this some like crazy poet, sort of soulful musician person who happens to have a job doing children's TV theme tunes?
Only writes sad music, possibly. It's almost inappropriate because it sounds upbeat, but it's that kind of uplifting melancholy that you get with really good bands like the Smiths or something. It has that kind of feel. Sort of up an atom, but it's not worth getting up an atom kind of thing.
It's sad. I can't watch that now in the same sort of mind frame.
No, well, next time you hear it, and anyone listening to this, go and listen or look on YouTube, Charlie and Lola. You will now find that the theme song to it redefines your concept.
Right, well, okay, what we're going to do, just as an experiment in our sort of new technological remote access thing, this is probably going to make a noise, badunk, sorry, very unprofessional. But now I'm going to fire up Google Chrome, other Internet Explorers are available. Right, hang on, YouTube. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves.
I'm having a nice day. Here I am. Sitting around on my own while you surf the web during this show.
This is the height of professionalism. Okay, so, right, here we are, actually. Charlie and Lola. Let's hear what it sounds like. Oh, advertisement.
In a world where cars are everything.
I don't want it to do that.
No. Other adverts.
Fuck me, that's loud. Right, hang on a second. Let's turn the volume down a bit. Highly professional outfit here. Let's have a listen. There's children's laughter, Rich. It doesn't sound that melancholy. Right, hang on, here we go.
Hey, I sang it perfect pitch as well.
You did, actually. That's not sad at all. What are you talking about?
It's really sad, mate. It's horribly sad.
I mean, does it take a sudden key change? And let me...
That's it. It's that wistful, lilting...
I know it. It's good. Oh, right, now I see what you're going for.
It's okay. It's the wait.
Well, it wasn't the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Right. I didn't say it was the saddest thing you've ever... I didn't say everyone who listens to this will die of sadness. Maybe true. I've just got a different... Maybe I'm reading something into it. Maybe my own wasted youth.
Did you have an older brother and you were a younger sister? And no, that's not going to work.
No, I'm afraid not. I did not.
Well, this particular episode is about toothpaste, by the looks of it. So, anything to do with toothpaste?
No. I've never had any toothpaste-related trauma, I can happily say, ever. In fact. Well, so, is that a BBC show?
CBeebies, yes.
Right, so having that on our show, that's all right, isn't it? Because you advertise the BBC and it's like, license paying.
Oh,
that's
shit.
A good thing.
Are we going to get sued?
It's not like advertising a thing.
No. Yeah, good point.
BBC. Are here to entertain and inform and educate the world.
If they do consider, and obviously all BBC execs are listening to this podcast, so if they do consider suing us, I'd just like to remind them about the Rastamouse fiasco.
Yeah, step away from the podcast. Yeah, so you've got your number.
If you want to bring a lawsuit about the Charlie and Lola theme tune being played, then just remember, I know about those twins. Those twins with the trainers. See, and they've been incriminated and had to make bad things good, and the evidence wasn't there. So don't bring it to me, CBeebies. You and your bloody presenters with your get ready, set, go, whatever thing it is. Don't bring it here. Yeah.
You tell them.
I will.
You told them. They're told now.
Children's TV presenters, I'll tell them.
Yeah.
You've been ill, haven't you?
Yeah, sort of. I've been kind of flu-y, virally messed up. I'm better now.
Good.
But when you're sort of stuck around the house, we had rats in the house before Christmas. Not actually living in our house, but next door I've got a dog and a cat. And all the attics are joined up, like in that Narnia book.
Ah, yes.
It's like a run of three attics. And I was alone in the house for the best part of a week. And all I could hear between about 11 at night and 5 in the morning was the scraping of tiny, horrible little claws across floorboards in the roof.
It wasn't your neighbour, was it?
It wasn't my neighbour. My neighbour is not a tiny, clawed, hairy person that scurries around. I hope not, anyway. If that actually turns out to be, I should be so upset and faintly aroused, even
quite rightly so.
But all I could hear was like, because it would scrape itself over the brickwork and thump down on the floorboards, scurry across, then do the same thing in reverse and go to my neighbour's house on the other side. So all I could hear all night was.
That I can imagine how that would be frustrating.
Yeah, and it's not like some cutesy little animal, and it's not like having noisy neighbours. It's disease-ridden, fucking horrible, vermin, shitty, red-eyed bastards who are like over a foot long, right?
Now that sounds like my neighbour.
About 5 feet from your face. So you're lying in bed looking up at the ceiling and all you can hear is these little horrible things running about. And you sort of you feel as though you're living in Victorian London or something.
Mm, nice. So what were we talking? Did you get the shotgun out, or what was the solution to this problem?
I did actually get hold of a catapult, thinking if I did see any in the garden, I could see them off.
The catapult? Boing, woo!
See ya! Yeah, you can go to this next street, then you'll be happier. Yeah,
someone else's problem.
But I just got a local government. Like a local council person to come and actually, you know, a proper rat-killing person. Oh,
I thought you said, I reported them to the council, they're going to get a letter.
And the mayor of Birmingham came out with a croquet mallet.
Well, that's good service, I like that.
You up there, leave my constituents alone!
That'll be a bit like that. Good stuff. As long as you're not, like, rabid or any typhoid or anything like that going around, then that's got to be a bonus.
Absolutely. But it does make you feel kind of sort of horrible and helpless, even though it wasn't anything to do with anything we were doing here. You know, you feel as though your whole house must be kind of festering with filth if there's rats in the air. But they say if you live in a city, you're never more than 20 foot away from a rat.
Yeah, I don't want
to find that hard to believe.
Well, it's just nasty.
Yeah.
Which is a bit weird because one of my siblings kept a couple of pet rats for a number of years, and they were absolutely delightful.
Really?
Yeah, just lovely little animals, really smart and interactive and not at all what you'd think of. I don't expect he fished them out of the sewer or anything like that. But,
look what I've got.
It's a pet. Oh, I'm missing three fingers.
Yeah. Well done. Anything that doesn't have the bubonic plague that you might like to have around the house? No. Just the bubonic plague, then. Great.
Faulty Tales episode is ringing bells in my head now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Right then. I suppose we better play a song, hadn't we?
Let's play a song.
Now, this is, again, an Aquila track from the latest album, which is free from the website. Go and get it. Just Google Aquila Loves You. You guys know with a score already. And this one's a bit of a kick-ass rocker for any sort of air guitar masters out there, isn't it?
This is one of my favourite ones, really. It's kind of, I think I wrote it as a kind of, from the point of view of some sort of assassin or something like that. It's called Gunpoint, but I had to change all the words because I wanted it to fit in with the rest of the album, and the idea being that it's more of a end of a relationship, a kind of extreme, horrible end of a relationship, I wish you were dead kind of song, really, which fits with the album, Guilt Brings Out the Best in You. But, yeah, let's have a listen.
Excellent. Right, so my... basically, got any sort of drum fans out there, do check out the wonderful Ben Darg throws his sticks around on this one quite nicely. So this is free download. Go and get it from AquilaLovesYou.com. It's called Gunpoint. Enjoy. Bit of a rocker. Just some of those drum fills are fucking awesome. We were talking during the music about hair.
So,
hair, yeah. So I'm growing some on my face at the moment.
Yeah, you're doing some serious beard action.
Yeah. So now this is something I've never really tried any big way before. I did a goatee like 10 years ago, which was fucking terrible. And since then, I've sort of like stayed away from it all. But then I thought,
I think it works for you though. I think like there's not that many people that can pull off the beard, but it's working for you, dude. Definitely.
I hope so. Thank you. But the reason my confidence has been knocked is because one of my people that I work with basically came in and just said, "Jesus." Now, whether this was meant as an expletive or a character reference, I don't know.
If it's a character reference, then surely that'd be quite a good thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, did he have a good beard, or was it just generally beardy?
I mean, we're just doing this as a flip
because this means that for a change, I'm Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. But like, I mean, all the renditions and pictures of Jesus, apart from when he's an actual like a newborn baby.
You mean he didn't have a beard then?
All the pictures of Jesus have a. About 33, isn't he? So you'd expect a 33-year-old man to have a reasonable amount of facial hair. I'm not somebody who can grow a beard. I can get like thick stubble, but the actual hairs never come together and coalesce to form a unified beard. None of my facial hairs want to talk to each other, I think is the thing. So I don't get that bushy thing. I get a wiry thing that doesn't work out quite so well.
So you look like some kind of long-haired cat after a bath sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of. So if the person had come into the room, and was it a guy or a girl?
Male.
Jesus to you.
Male.
Right, so if he'd come in and gone, Joaquin Phoenix, obviously that wouldn't be quite so good. But Jesus, you know, loads of people think Jesus is cool.
True, but I don't know. I'm assuming it was an expletive rather than a, hey, you look like Jesus, man.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
Which basically means that he's walked through the door and gone, fucking hell, or the equivalent of. So I'm not seeing that as a good review, personally.
No, but if you were growing it to appeal to teenage boys, then perhaps that's more something you need to ask yourself questions about.
Respond to that as a point to say that I am definitely not doing it to appeal to teenage boys?
Well, that's all right.
Do beards... Do they appeal
to... If it repels teenage boys, then surely that's all to the good, then. That's what you want.
Well, if you're actually some kind of force field, then that's a seriously powerful beard. So I reckon, personally, the facial hair thing needs to be factored in to some form of list of instructions that would be taken forward into the new world.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
So grow a beard if a beard suits you, kind of thing.
I don't know. But that seems a bit convoluted.
Would that be a good commandment?
But that's more of a sort of instruction.
There's some people who only work, would only work with a beard, though. Like, Billy Connolly looks weird without a beard.
True.
Russell Brand looks goddamn frightening without a beard. He's just a mass of gums and teeth. The beard seems to break it up somehow.
Gums and teeth and beard, that all that man's about.
But he looks really cool with a beard. It really, that's sort of what he looks like. You know, and there's lots of other people where it's... That's their thing. So if you made that a commandment, wear a beard if a beard suits you, I think that'd be cool.
But does that not mean that, like, let's say a beard does suit you, but you don't want to grow a beard?
Well, that's why it's called a commandment. It's not an askment. Or an if you fancyment.
An ask, yeah, and if you wouldn't mindment.
So be kind, feed your children appropriately,
yeah,
and wear a beard as long as a beard suits you.
Yeah, and don't forget that we're not allowed to move horses.
Yeah, don't move horses.
Yeah, no, you've got to, the order's very important here. I mean, I'm not saying that we have to have this set in stone right way. Let's just say for now that we go with the order of presentation. So we've got be nice, don't move horses,
right?
Consider how much you feed your children, and grow a beard if a beard suits you.
Yeah.
I'm a little uncomfortable with the last one at the moment.
Really? Even more than don't move horses?
Well, yeah, but that's all right because I've never moved a horse, so I can stick with that one quite easily.
Oh, is it you're worried that it doesn't suit you because of the reception that your face furniture has had thus far?
Okay, so if we're going to start picking these apart, who's the judge of whether it suits you or not?
Well, me or you. I mean, I'm assuming that you're seizing the mantle of Jesus for this week.
Okay.
So you are the executive in charge of beards.
I've now got a vision of myself sat in some kind of large, languid throne-type chair, gently some nice maiden wafting me with a palm leaf, and a queue of men with partially grown beards, and me just saying, yes, next.
Don't think so.
No, next. Maybe. Oh, go on then, yes, next. And I don't...
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's how one... The novelty would wear off fairly quickly, I think.
Do you think so?
Mm.
But think of all the lovely wafting that you'd get while you're doing it.
True. You know, can I sort of factor in someone feeding me grapes?
Feeling your grapes? You won't be able to concentrate on the beard if someone's feeling your grapes
well,
the whole
come
time.
On. It would add an air of sort of excitement and energy to the whole thing.
All right, then. Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair enough, though.
Yeah, can I have someone also giving me grapes to eat as well?
Yes. That's juggling a lot of different things, and that's some serious multitasking.
I'm not juggling at the same time, man. Come on, give me a break.
Because you actually can juggle as well.
Can juggle a little bit, yeah.
You're a closet juggler.
I am. I'm all right with three balls. Whey!
Fantastic.
So this has been the first trial, I suppose, of trying to do this in a remote situation. Because, I mean, there's no substitute from my viewpoint of actually sat in front of your co-presenter, co-host. And that having that sort of back
Absolutely.
And forth and, the more than just verbal communication. But it's gone all right. It's gone okay.
Even though we're miles apart.
Oh, it just feels like you're right.
Right.
You're all in my ears.
Yes, and I'm taking up residence behind your eyes.
Indeed.
What you see.
It's not without its issues.
In your head.
Stop it. Stop it now. See, the idea was to actually leave... leave your laptop on in the background, and then just as you're drifting off to sleep, I'm going to come on and leave the speakers on, and then just as you're just in the little bit between awake and asleep, you know, sort of half dreaming, I'll just randomly creep up and say, Richard, Richard, the rats, Richard, they're in the attic. They're
I'll get you with my catapult.
They're in your eyes. They're behind your eyes, yeah. Or feel free to log off and turn it off at the wall as well, because that's safer.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, this is all in my kitchen. I don't sleep in my kitchen.
Yeah.
So you feel free to do that, but I just won't. I won't hear you unless you're really loud.
Okay. Could you plug in your sort of like studio monitors into it and pump it up to 11?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure that won't result in anything unpleasant for me.
No, there's no reason I'm asking you to do that, obviously.
Yeah, just notwithstanding
forget that stuff that we said a minute ago. I was just joshing.
It's forgotten. It's forgotten.
Cool. Right, well, thank you very much for your time, Richard.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always good fun. And we're now trying to play the game of me trying not to crash the end of the outro, which is kind of usual. But thanks, people who are listening. It's obviously... You know, we're ramping up on this. It's highly enjoyable, and we'd be interested in your feedback. So do get in touch with us.
Yeah, talk to us.
Yeah, definitely.
Find us on Twitter.
Hop on over to QuillaLovesYou.com, download the album for free, join the mailing list, subscribe to the podcast and get in touch. Facebook and Twitter, all that sort of shit. We'd love to hear from you. Remember, Aquila loves you. Until next time.
Bye, 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 bye.
Bye.